Romans chapter 5 is a beautiful portion of Scripture, and we're not going to preach the whole chapter today, but sometime during the week, if you have time, if you would sit down and read Romans chapter 5, and if you're a Bible that has footnotes, that you could look up the footnotes in it, but Romans 5 is a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. It's hard to find a place to start and hard to find a place to stop. Today we're just going to study just a few parts of it, but today's sermon title is Soul Winning Part 2, so you could go back and listen to Part 1 sometime if you were not able to be with us last week. But if you go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 through 19 to begin with, we're going to back up and go through other parts of it as well. So Romans chapter 5 verse 17, it says, "For it by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteousness act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Through one man, sin entered the world, and that man, one man was Adam," and we go back to the original sin. But if you also looked at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord," meaning eternal separation from God. If the Lord tarries, there's one death that we all must face, and that is a physical death. But the death spoken here is an eternal death, an eternal separation from God, and that is the death that he is talking about. The first death that we're talking about is only temporary. Many times we look in the New Testament, we see that Jesus referred to them as one that is sleeping because it only happens for just a short period of time and then they're home in glory, and we praise God for that. The original sin severed man's fellowship with God. You may think I should not be held accountable for Adam's sin, and you're not being held accountable for Adam's sin. But if you looked at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So you can't say, "Well, I can't be held accountable for Adam's sin because that's something he did and I shouldn't be held accountable." But we see that through Adam's sin and the original fall, that sin entered into the world and we are born in a world of sin. All have fallen from the grace. If we all also look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." So when we talk about in the very beginning that sin has severed that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, we see here in this Scripture, most certainly it brings that out. "Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered the world, death or eternal separation through sin, and thus eternal separation from God spread to all men because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Through that one man, sin entered the world. And we look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 again. It says, "For by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more than those who receive abundance of grace, of the gift of righteousness, will reign in the life through one, which is Christ Jesus. For by one death reigned, but by the grace of God through our faith in Christ, life reigns today. Life abundantly, life eternal. Christ is the light of the world, and through that light is life that is everlasting, that is available to everybody in the world." Now, if you looked at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through" what? "Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Now look at that at verse 2. Through whom, and whom is who? Jesus. "Also we have access by faith into this grace that is shed and shared with all of us, and we have access to that grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there is no access. There's nobody in the world that can say, I know God, but doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You must know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before you can ever be brought back into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, because sin has made a dividing line that you cannot cross. It's only through the grace of God, and that access is through our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus. So you stand before God just as if you've never sinned through your faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never justified by what? What we bring to the table, because you can't bring enough to the table. And we know that there's churches, if you belong to their church, if you're a member to their church, if you've been baptized in their church, and in that membership, you automatically become a part of membership in the body of Christ. And that's not true. It's not true according to the Scripture. Because you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I believe that that message has been spread abroad enough in this church over and over and over again that we all understand that. The only way that we are saved is through Jesus. Our only access to our Heavenly Father is through Jesus. The only way we can have answered prayer is through Jesus. You have to know Jesus. If you do not know Jesus, you're destined for death. And I don't mean the first one. I'm talking about eternal separation from God. And that is the world in which we live in today. Our righteousness that we bring to the table, in Isaiah 64, 6 says, it's as filthy rags. We don't have anything that we can offer. Because the justification and the wages of sin was what? The wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid that price so you would not have to pay that price. Jesus faced the second death so you wouldn't have to face the second death. Our only justification is found in Christ. He is our righteousness. I am just a sinner saved by grace. You hear me say that all the time. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in other words, you can't save yourself. There's nothing that you can do. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. He died for those that couldn't buy their way, couldn't earn their way, could never deserve the way back into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man so someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait to see if you would accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He died beforehand. Now think about that. In our love that we have for other people, in our love that we have for good and for people, it's many times it's deserved. It's deserved. If you deserve it, I'll share love with you. If you deserve it, I'll share this with you. If you deserve it, I'll do this for you. But you do something wrong, and I'm not going to do that anymore. So very much we control that and we dominate that, what we share personally of ourselves. God took out all the stops so you could be saved. He died not even knowing whether you would accept Him as Lord and Savior. He died before He found out that later on in life you would accept the Lord Jesus. He died for all of humanity, once and for all. A sacrifice that would end all other sacrifices. So, but in verse 8, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciled through Christ in our relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Reconcile in the Webster Dictionary means to settle. It means to settle. It's kind of an accounting term. In fact, Selena uses this every month when we have our council meeting. She uses that term at every council meeting. The church accounting is reconciled with the bank statement. What the bank statement says, the church accounting is reconciled is settled against that. Reconciled to God, a debt that you could not pay has been paid. Every person in this world has a debt that they cannot pay. Beside everyone's name that doesn't know Jesus, it says, oh, note is past due. The account is not settled. It has not been reconciled. Only through our faith in Christ can that debt be paid. In verse 11, through Christ that debt is paid, and we have been received reconciliation. Now, what has this got to do with soul winning part two? Remember that word, reconciliation. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. In chapter 4, you're going to go to verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose the minds the God of this age has blinded, who did not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now let me ask you, have you ever had a bill you could not pay? And I'm sure that there's a lot of people in here at one time in their life. Maybe it was earlier in life. I know there was many times, Carol and I, when we were younger in our marriage, we had bills that we could not pay. And did you fret about it? Did you become worried about it? Did you become anxious about it? And the answer is yes, we're concerned about it. Everybody in this world that doesn't know Christ has a bill they can't pay. Think about that. Everybody in this world that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior has a bill that is attached to their name that they cannot pay. And many don't even know it. They have been blinded from the truth that that debt must be paid. What if you had a bill that you didn't know about? The sheriff knocks on your door and the sheriff says, you've got to move today. Today. And you would say, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Saints, it's our job to tell people that they must be reconciled to God because they have a debt that they can't pay, but it is past due. It is past due in their life that they need to make this right with a relationship with their Heavenly Father before it is too late. The account, the old account settled long ago, remember that song? It needs to be settled. And the only way that it can be settled is through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other person under heaven or anywhere in this world by where in which we must be saved. His name is Jesus. So now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been talking about the word reconciliation. In chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's you. That's me. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As we shared earlier, we have received reconciliation. We are to point others to Christ so that they may receive the same free gift that we have received. Verse 20, as ambassadors, we allow Christ to plead through us that they can have that debt settled. There is no higher calling in the world than to help lead others to know Jesus. No higher calling. So their debt can be settled, that they as well can be reconciled to God just as you and I were. People say, I wish I had a prophetic ministry. People say, I wish I had a healing ministry. People say, I wish I had a deliverance ministry. Well, everyone here has a ministry that's even more important, or can I say, just as important. Everyone here has a reconciliation ministry. You are an ambassador for Christ. There is no more important ministry than what has been given to you because of your faith that you have in Jesus. What's your plan? What's God's purpose for you? Is to tell others about Jesus, to grow up in Jesus, to tell others about Jesus. You have people that you can reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ I will never reach. People don't recognize that. They don't realize that. But there are people that you can reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ because of that tremendous gift that God has given you of salvation. He has blessed you and your own unique calling to share your faith with somebody else. Sometimes we almost feel like, well, we got to be a theologian or we got to be a philosopher. We got to have all this knowledge of the Bible before we can ever tell anybody. The day that you were accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what? You had a message to share. That day, Jesus has set me free. Jesus has set me free. He delivered me from the powers of darkness. And you can have that same thing today. If you feel like you're down and you feel like you're out, I've got a message for you. The word gospel means good news. I've got the good news. This church has got the good news. We need to tell people, we got the good news. Hallelujah. Who is that person that you know right now that needs to know the Lord? And if you're not embarrassed by it, I want you to speak their first name. Chris and Kurt. Addison. Say, you say their name. Don't worry about speaking over somebody else. Just say their name. Hallelujah. You know as well as I do that those people need Jesus more than anything else. Anything else. I had somebody tell me one time, do you believe in salvation at all cost? And when you pray for salvation for somebody at all cost, you're pulling out every stop of the Holy Spirit. We pull out every stop. I don't care what happens, Lord, because the most important thing that they can have or have, it's more important than being healed from cancer. Amen. It's more important than being healed that your kidneys function and you don't need dialysis. It's more important than life itself. And that is the salvation of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Because it's the only way you can be reconciled, that account can be settled, that note can be paid that is past due in your life is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask that, Father, you would sweep over this place in only a way that you can today. That, Father, maybe there's somebody here today that has never had that account settled. Maybe they've never recognized it. They never knew that that was something that was hanging over their head because they cannot be reconciled to their Heavenly Father without knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And maybe they never knew that. But today, the Holy Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, Father, you're impacting their lives as never before. They're just feeling that they need to respond to that. They need to answer that call in their life. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, with there being one by the signifying of the upraised hand, Pastor Leo, I want you to pray with me today. I want my life to be reconciled to my Heavenly Father. I want that debt to be paid in my life. Is there one here today? Is there one here today? As the Holy Spirit sweeps over this place, everyone in this room knows Jesus. Everyone in this room, if you got killed in a car wreck, as we go down Highway 5, you're okay. I'm going to see you in heaven. I'm going to see you walking on the streets of glory. You know that in your heart and you know that in your life today. Is there one that would want me to pray for them today? Father, for those that we have shared their names, and I know that there's others upon people's hearts and lives today that maybe they didn't speak out. But they know that person in their heart right now, and in their heart, they're speaking that name. They're speaking that name of that person, and maybe there's a lot more than one that needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, that is the most important thing that we can have in this world. It's not a new car. It's not a new house. It's not a new boat. It's not lots of money. The most important thing that we can have in this world is to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we pray for those individuals today, Father, that, Father, they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And, Father, we say that with pull out the stops, Father. We want them at all costs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We ask that today, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we pray that, Father, you would have people that would reach out to those individuals, that you would lead them in contact with somebody that knows Jesus, that could share their witness, could share their testimony. We ask that you would surround them with your Holy Spirit. Father, you would speak to their heart. You would draw them ever to you as you did us. And we know that, Father, that we must be drawn by that power and by that authority. We praise you today, Father, that we know you. We praise you today that, Father, you saw fit not only to give your Son, but to draw us to you by your Holy Spirit, and that we're here today because of our faith and our love for you today. We thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we are thankful for this day and this time together. And Father, I pray that the blessings will not stop here. When we walk out the door, I pray over every one of these families that you would open the windows of heaven. You would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them. And Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.